Folks, coming up in hour two, we're going to talk about 9/11. Or we're going to talk really about the psychological impact of such a calamity, what it did to people, what it continues to do to people, and actually the human resilience, the resilience of people to make it through and to survive even the worst of things. We're going to be talking about that in the second hour. In this hour, we're talking about surviving something that actually doesn't happen in a tragic occurrence, but happens every day, and that's work. And how do we survive that? And to help us to survive, we have in studio with us Dr. Ian Bradley. Ian, we had a text here I just wanted to get to before we talk about other things. The subject said, or the person says, I only sleep 4 hours a night, bad insomnia due to a lot of responsibility. I assume they mean work responsibility. This has been going on for 6 years. It affects my family negatively. Obviously, you're not sleeping. My doctor says sleeping pills will help. What do you think?
Ian? Well, we certainly know that sleep is absolutely required. We don't get enough sleep, and when we're worried, it's even worse. In my clinical practice, I spend a lot of time talking about going to sleep and how to rid yourself of those stressful concerns. And I don't know if you know the story, but there's this psychologist, Zygarnik, who was a student of another famous psychologist, Lewin. And Zygarnik had the habit of going out with his fellow graduate students to have something to eat in a tavern, maybe in Vienna. And for each and every night that they went out, the waiter came over, took their order perfectly, but never wrote it down. So after years of this, Zygarnik came up to him and he said, your memory is just incredible. I mean, it's just fantastic. Could you mind telling us what we ordered tonight? And the waiter looked at him. He said, of course not. I've got no idea. And that got Zygarnik thinking about completion, that when the waiter brought the order, after, the information in his short-term memory disappeared. And it's called completion. Once we have a sense of completion, then that information goes. So why am I telling you this in terms of sleep? Well, one of the things that I do with people is that I get them, before they go to bed, to take one piece of paper, and it can't be any more than one piece of paper, but just that one piece of paper, to write down what they want to do the next day. And not in great detail, but in a macro perspective, and to write it down, to spend 10 or 15 minutes, but not longer doing that, draw a line at the end, and then put it away. And that has the effect of draining those things that, you know, cause us to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because when we wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and start thinking about work, I guarantee it's bad.
Right. So for the text, you would say that, putting aside the sleeping pills for a second, if you sort of wrote down the things that you're thinking about in regards to work, and maybe that would allow you to put them aside, and you
exactly.
could get your night's sleep, and maybe you wouldn't need those sleeping pills.
Writing them down, and also maybe coming up with some kind of plan as to what you were going to do. And the plan doesn't have to be exactly what you're going to do the next day, but a long-term vision or something. And if the trick is to develop some kind of closure, some kind of sense of completion. And if it's not complete, then the idea that this is a plan that's going to take me to that completion.
And I guess also, I mean, what's not said here but maybe implied also is, well, it is said that he has a lot of responsibility, and sometimes people take on also too much responsibility, right? We're talking about what the company does, but sometimes what the employee does is takes on more burden than they even need to. We can't actually ask our texter the question, though maybe he could text us or she could text us back. Do you take on too much responsibility? Is that part of the problem?
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to what we said before, is that you have to be the manager of your own company, even if you're an employee, and you have to think strategically. You have to think, what is in my long-term best interest? And if you're across the board and working on 18 different projects and none of them are going to be completed, then you're in trouble. Then your own particular company is not going to do well. So sometimes you have that. Sometimes that there's a sense of excessive responsibility and people don't complete things, and that certainly can lead to stress.
And sometimes to take responsibility for aspects of the project that aren't even yours. I've seen this a lot in burnout, and initially a lot in the IT business. I don't know why particularly that one, but I think it probably applies across the board, and that is that I'm responsible for my piece of it, but I take on the responsibility for the whole project being completed in mm-hmm. my mind. And so I'm worrying about everybody else's piece as well, and trying to help everybody else or chip in on everybody else's, because I feel that it's my job not just to do my piece, but to make sure the whole thing comes through.
And I agree with you. The people that I see, for example, that have been off through workplace disability, they have an excessive self-criticism. Is that they tend to see things as their fault and an excessive self-blame. And one of the things that I do in disability management is to get them to look at the larger picture, to see that they're not the only ones there and that they were suffering as a result of certain organizational factors and that it's really just not their entire doing is the reason that they're not at work.
Interesting. Folks, we'd like to hear from you as well. What is your... We all go to work and we all have workplace stress. You have the opportunity to share your experience, to ask a question. I know I'm going to ask Dr. Bradley what to do with that difficult boss in that type of relationship. What about your situation? The other interesting work situation is family. Some people work in family businesses and that creates its own set of stress. So, folks, what's your work environment? Let's hear from you. 514-790-0099. Star Talk, that's star 8255 on your cell. That's a free call on Bell Mobility. Actually, maybe we could get right to that before we get to the individual. We talked about some of the organizational factors that are a problem in a or can be a problem in the workplace environment and cause stress to the employees. Family workplaces and family businesses that tend not to run in such a corporate structure, and we have a lot of those in Montreal.
Oh, I agree. I think there's some of the most serious problems that I've ever run across, and I continue to be amazed at what happens in a family business. And I think there are two general types of problems. One is there's a failure to demarcate territory. So that, for example, the father or the mother is the president of the company and there are multiple sibs that are working in the company. And because as parents, you don't want to say that you're my favorite son or my daughter, so that works well in the family, and nor should you. But in the company, people need to have a definite role. And as a result of that role, some people are going to have more responsibility and a greater pay than other people. And there are so many family businesses where they fall down as a result of a clear demarcation of territory, responsibility, and authority. And I see that, that all the time. And the second major issue is the lack of emotional control. That that family businesses, people just lose it.
Right.
And the
just like they would lose it around the dinner
exactly,
table.
Exactly. But when you lose it in a company and you have an audience, the wounds last forever. And I've been involved. I've been called into companies where it's really been family therapy. And I've had vice presidents who haven't spoken to each other in years as a result of a family feud. So one really has to control one. The degree of self-regulation needs to be completely increased in a lot of family businesses. You just can't say those things that you might say around the family table. In fact, probably around the family table, you shouldn't say them anyhow.
Right.
But certainly not in the work environment.
And then if you're an employee of some of these work companies, because some of these family businesses get reasonably large, and so it's not even the squabbles that are alone that are within the family itself. It's if you are working for this family,
sure.
A lot of the structures, organizational structures that are in place in a corporation, and I remember working with an individual who worked for a company where not only was, of course, the president a family member, but so was the head of human resources.
Sure. Yeah.
So the person that might go to complain about problems with the boss was actually a relative of the boss.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of the big things in a family business, the idea about incentive. No matter how hard I work, I can't change my last name.
Right.
So that's a ceiling in terms of advancement and how much and promotion. So that's a problem in a family business. I think it can be solved sometimes by getting people on the board, for example, that are outside the family. That's extremely important to have competent people on the board, to have the board members familiar with the operations of the family business. And the patriarchs of the family business have to realize that they could be wrong. And sometimes they've got problems doing that. They've often taken the business from, mom and pop store or a small enterprise, and now it's a multi-million-dollar enterprise. And they're to be congratulated for that. But that doesn't mean that every decision that they make now comes from God. And they have to realize that as well and be open to criticism and encourage dissent in the business.
Very, very interesting, I think. So we have a number of different workplace environments that are going to affect people, and we have to see how they're affected. Interesting, we've just actually, and we've gotten another text in, at, and by the way, if you want to text us as well, 514-800, it'll only cost you a quarter. The same person that was that had texted us before very nicely continued the conversation. Taking on the responsibility of all tasks is my problem. You guys hit the nail on the head. I always do complete my tasks, and burnout is a great way to describe me. I'm sleeping pill free. I will try writing my tasks. Have any more advice? I think one of the points that we'll have to move, we're actually going to have a lot of advice when we talk about generally how people can cope with stress, but here we did hit the nail on the head. This guy takes on lots of responsibility, always gets it done, but at a huge personal cost.
Again, I think you have to think strategically, and I'd like to ask why the person does that. Sometimes in terms of career management, it's good to do a little bit of that. I mean, one of the things that you're dealing with when you're dealing with coworkers is that you have this dialectic in the sense that you have to cooperate, but you also have to compete. So part of competition is showing that you can do more than your coworkers, but you have to do it subtly.
Right.
And if you're doing it in such a way that you're getting burned out or it isn't subtle, then you're losing cooperation and therefore it's not going to advance your own career. But it's a hard kind of equilibrium to maintain because as on the one hand, you need colleagues in order to advance. You need them for social support. You need them sometimes to get your job done. On the other hand, you have to stand out. And how do you manage that fine equilibrium? Because you can err on either side. You can become so competitive that you alienate all your peers. And when your name is mentioned for promotion, people just frown. Or you can become such a team player and so cooperative that you don't stand out, in which case you'll never be considered for promotion. So it's a fine balance in terms of navigating those two areas.
Folks, we have to break for some commercials. You can see from Dr. Bradley's comments, however, that this man is well tuned into the workplace environment. This is not Pollyannish. The psychologist says things that make no sense in a real work environment. Dr. Bradley is dead on in his comments and in his advice. If you would like to ask him your question, 514-790-0991, star talk, that's star 8255 on your cell. That's a free call on Bell Mobility. You can also text your comments. It'll only cost you a quarter at 514-800.